Good morning. I'm going to give a little note of explanation first about the notes. Children, there are the notes don't have any words on them. There's pictures of, or a picture of two hands. And one thing we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, just kind of make a mention of it, is that in Isaiah, God says, I have engraven you on my hand. I've written your name on my hand. So I want you to think about it this morning. If you write your name on those hands, think of those as God's hands, and think about it that Jesus said that if someone comes to me, I will receive them, and no one can pluck them out of my hand. So if you are a born-again Christian this morning, your name is written on the hand of God, and we can take that and rejoice in that. Rejoice, thy King cometh. Zechariah 9:9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. What I really want us to notice this morning is clicker's not working, Logan. Can you just advance that? We only have two slides this morning, so. Rejoice greatly, thy kingdom cometh, thy king cometh unto thee. It does say cometh. I'm sorry about that. Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Rejoice, thy king cometh. The birth of Jesus was cause for great rejoicing. But why? Let's look at what some of the people at this time would have known. I don't know what the common people, I tried to look at this a little bit. I can't say how much time I spent looking for this. And I often feel that when we do dig up history like this, it's a lot of speculation anyways. So I don't know the shepherds, for instance. I don't know what kind of knowledge they had of the scriptures. The scribes and Pharisees would have had a pretty in-depth knowledge. A very in-depth knowledge. From what I understand, a lot of them would have had the entire Old Testament memorized. But as far as the common, you know, the merchants and the shepherds and the farmers and the builders and whoever, I don't know how much they would have known about the scriptures. Remember, there had been 400 years of silence. There was no Spirit of God moving on the earth at that time, at least no record of it. There was no active prophet sharing the Word of God. And so this was a long time. 400 years is a long time. It's easy for us to read over things like that. The Babylonian captivity was 70 years. That's a long time. We read it in a couple of chapters and we're through it and we forget just how long these events were. But this was 400 years after the last prophet. There was no Holy Spirit presence. No, the Spirit of God was not active on earth at that time. So I don't know how interested people were in God. I really don't know. It's hard to know exactly how well they had done in being in tune and keeping their minds focused on the fact that someday a Messiah was coming. They did have, those of them that had the scriptures, those of them that had knowledge of the scriptures, did have some things to look at. So, of course, it all starts in Genesis 3, and we're not going to turn there this morning, but most of us know the story of Adam and Eve being tempted, choosing to sin, going against God, God pronouncing a curse upon them, but in that curse also saying, I'm cursing, he told Adam, and then he told Eve that you will be cursed, and he said the serpent will be cursed, and he told Eve, your seed will bruise the serpent's head. So somewhere down the line, and she had no idea how far, she thought maybe it would be Cain, and then she thought maybe it would be Seth, but one of her descendants was going to crush the serpent's head, defeat Satan and the devil and sin and death and all of that. So Isaiah 42, if you turn to that, if you would, please, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. And here we're going to look at some prophecies and promises that God gave. And what we want to notice, I'm not going to catch it near every time. You can be watching for this. But notice in the scriptures that we read this morning, we're going to be going from past to present to future concerning Christ and His kingdom, concerning God's plan for humankind. So Isaiah 42, verse 1, obviously it's talking in the future sense. Now, we have a much better perspective than anyone back there had. We have the advantage of history. We have the advantage of the full canon of Scripture. We have the advantage of having the Holy Spirit illuminating those Scriptures for us and being able to use all of that to look back and see what all... But all of these events, to them, I'm sure that the shepherds didn't know the wise men. The wise men didn't know the shepherds. They lived hundreds and hundreds of miles apart and came. In the nativity scene, we always see the shepherds here and the wise men standing here. That's not how it was. It was probably a year or two maybe before the wise men came with their gift. But anyway, so we're starting here in Isaiah looking at God telling them about a future coming Messiah. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall, notice the shall, and I just love, I never get tired of emphasizing that when God speaks, it is certain. He doesn't say, I aim to have him do this. If it works out, this is the plan. He says, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. In other words, he's not going to make a big deal about himself. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. That's another thing you see God doing a lot in Scripture, is using the fact that he is the creator to establish his credibility. Thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens, that stretched out the earth, that did all of these things. This is who is speaking to us. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Where I want us to end this morning is rejoicing. That's what we're going to really want to draw this down to, is rejoice, for your king cometh. So now go to Isaiah 62. Actually, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to just read. There's Isaiah 62, Jeremiah 23, and Zechariah 2, or some more references that refer to the same things. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Zechariah 2:10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. So they would have known, at least somewhat, obviously we see by looking back at the record, that very, very few, even those that made a life of studying the Scriptures, maybe especially those, did not understand it correctly. They did not know. They saw a Messiah coming in a military way with armies and defeating the Romans and or whoever at that time they were thinking the Romans. But they would have at least had an idea, an understanding somewhat, that somewhere, some way, someday, a Messiah was going to come. They didn't know how or when, but they knew. And they believed. Some of them believed. Some of them, they didn't. Some of them did not believe. So now I'm going to read the Christmas story. I've taken a number of different, I think all four Gospels mixed in. I've got a few different passages here. But I want us to try to think of this. Think of this as listening to a story. If I were to get up here and say, you know, the other day I was out doing so-and-so, right away I get people's attention. A story draws our attention. So think about this. I know we've heard it before. Marcus said something this morning. In fact, I'm going to start reading at the exact verse he did. He said something about trying to think of something new. But I also was thinking, I had those same thoughts this morning and in getting ready for this. But I also thought of the song that says, I love to tell the story. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. You know, and there's a way, there's a sense where the story doesn't have to be different or new or changed. It's always a good story. So we're going to read, and the thing that I feel the danger in Christmas. We know we have the commercialization, we have all of the drama, the hustle and the parties and the gifts and all of that. And I'll just be honest with you, I love it all. I like Christmas time. I like the family get-togethers. I like the all of that. To me, and now that can be overdone and that can be a problem. But to me, the greatest danger in Christmas is the fact that someone who lives like the devil and lives by the devil's standards all year long comes to Christmas, and he puts some change in the Salvation Army pot. He does something for a neighbor. He does whatever, and it soothes his conscience that this is the way I live the rest of the year. Yeah, I struggle, but this is who I really am. See, I'm giving. I'm kind. I have goodwill towards men. That is the danger in Christmas. That is the danger in celebrating a harmless, innocent babe in a manger without giving, without realizing and seeing him as a reigning Lord and Savior now. It's fine to notice and remember and celebrate. This is the day that we have designated to celebrate the birth of Christ. But there's so much more to the story, and the little babe in the manger does nothing if he doesn't grow up and die at the hands of his enemies. So let's just try to get lost in the story here and try to hear it for the first time. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now that sixth month, that's the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy with the little guy that would become John the Baptist. So Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I want to stop right there and say, I just this morning Googled it, and again, I don't know how accurate all of these things were, but estimations at the time of Jesus' birth was that there would have been around 350,000, and I saw exactly one thing. I didn't go further than that, but 350,000 Jews living in Israel at the time of Christ's birth. And again, I already said, I don't know how in-depth their knowledge was, how much this Messiah mentality enveloped them. But if it was something they spent time thinking and dreaming and anticipating, and they knew that the Messiah was going to be born of a woman, how many little girls do you think grew up thinking, maybe it'll be me. Maybe it'll be me. Or maybe it won't be me. Look at all these girls. Well, one day, there was a young girl who had an angel appear to her. Young people, old people, all of us. The earth has been standing for a long time. We all know that Christ is coming again someday. But probably not now. Probably not before I have my fun. Probably not before I do whatever. Are we anticipating? Are we realizing? One day, there's going to be a generation. I don't know if Mary was, we often hear the number 15. We'll just say she was 15. One day, there's going to be a generation of 15-year-olds who hear the trumpet sound and see Christ come. One day, there's going to be a generation of, I'm 43. There's going to be a 42. I'm 42. There'll be a generation of 42-year-olds who have their business and their hobby and their family and all of that that they're taking care of. And the sky's going to open. They're going to hear the trumpet. It's going to happen. There was a generation of 15-year-olds, 16, 18, 20, 40, 60, 80-year-olds on the earth when the flood started, when the rain, the first rain that ever landed on the earth came. There was a generation of all those ages the day the fire and brimstone fell on Sodom. And there was a day when a young girl who had prepared herself, who had lived in a way that God could use her, heard God's call in her life. Today is the day of salvation. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Here we see a mixture of future and present. We had the prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah that we looked at, saying that one day the Messiah would come. Now we have Mary in the present, hearing these are being fulfilled today. They will be fulfilled. You're part of this fulfillment. So here we have a mixture of present and future. Luke 2, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, it's happening, it's fulfilled, it's happening right now. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. This is how you'll find him. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Later on in that same chapter, we have the temple where they brought Jesus to the temple and had him dedicated. We have where they traveled with him when he was 12 years old, and they get a couple days down the road and say, "Well, hey, where's Jesus?" And they go back and they find him sitting in the temple talking with the teachers. And in verse 52 it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So here we see him growing up and becoming a man. Going on to Luke 4. "And he came to Nazareth." Now this is when he starts his ministry, where he had been brought up. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted.'" Notice he's speaking in the present tense. "To preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He was reading this. Evidently, the way he read it, the way he stressed it, something. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me." Maybe they were just simply looking at him to see what he would say about this. But I feel like there was a sense of anticipation there, the way he had read that, that something was going on. "And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.'" Skipping over to Matthew 4. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." In John chapter 12, it says the men came to Philip saying, "We would see Jesus." And so Philip went to Andrew and they brought these men to Jesus. And in verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, who had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. There's some real significance in that being the first thing. Jesus told the angel, Now when they come, tell them. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. The last interaction that they had with Jesus was when he was arrested, and they had Peter specifically is mentioned here. Peter had denied him, and the rest forsook him and fled. The first message they get from Jesus after his resurrection is, Tell my disciples, I go before you. Another place it says, Tell my brethren, I go before them. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the post-resurrection Christ. This is not a babe in a manger. Go ye therefore, notice the sequence here. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. So we have go, teach, baptize, and then teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This was a few weeks later. This was when Jesus, at the ascension, and they had gathered on the Mount of Olives. They came together, and they're still thinking, they're still looking for him to establish this earthly kingdom. They're still waiting for him to speak the word. When he was arrested the first time, he said, You know, I could say a word and have 12 legions of angels. And they, I think, believed him. So now they're saying, hey, are you going to say it now? Now are you going to say it? Is this when it's going to happen? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is to come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we went from prophecies telling us the future coming of a Messiah. Now we've read a number of, well, we read the story of the Messiah coming, fulfilling those prophecies. We have the Holy Spirit coming and establishing that kingdom of Christ. Now we're going to transition to future. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Romans 2 says that a Jew is not one who is a Jew outwardly, but inwardly. And I don't know what that all means in relation to the physical Jews, but I believe at the very least, it means that when I read a promise to Zion or to Jerusalem, I can claim it. And it says, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice that he did come. He said he would, he did. Rejoice that your sins are forgiven. Rejoice when you encounter trials and persecutions. Rejoice that there is hope for the believer, both in this life and in that which is to come. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Rejoice that he has your name engraved in his hand. Rejoice that there is a crown of life laid up for all them that love his appearing. Rejoice that he has said he will come again. Rejoice that he will come again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Rejoice, thy King cometh. I wish you all a very blessed Christmas season. I trust that we can spend the season being merry, but also rejoicing for the right reasons. I think it's great to simply have fun being together and all that. But rejoice because your King cometh. And above all, just make sure he's your King. God bless you all. If you stand, we'll have prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you that you were able to make a plan and then follow it through. Lord, you decided to create the world. You did. You decided to create man, and you did. Man rebelled. And you had planned before the foundations of the earth to redeem man. It was all in your plan, and you did it. And now you've said you plan to come back. And we know you will. And we rejoice in that. We thank you for that. I pray for each one here, Lord. I pray that we could truly rejoice in truth and in spirit. And just rejoice in knowing you. I pray for anyone that doesn't know you. Maybe there's confusion or blindness or stubbornness or whatever it is, Lord. I pray against those things. I pray in Jesus' name that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be opened, our will would be broken, that we could come to you. Do it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, for his sake, for the sake of the church. And all God's people said, Amen.